This is All Things Considered on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Peter Biello. While campaigning at New England College today, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders spoke of student debt and other domestic policy issues. His proposals include providing health care for all Americans and free tuition at public colleges. But how will these be paid for? Joining me now to talk about these policies is candidate and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Welcome to the program.
My pleasure.
Last month on NHPR, you said that you would provide more details soon about the top marginal tax rate for Americans, which is now 39%. You said that it would rise. What's the percentage going to be?
Peter, that is a good question. And as you know, we have detailed a lot of information on taxation. What we have proposed is to do away with the huge tax loopholes that allow major corporations to stash their money in the Cayman Islands and avoid paying $100 billion a year in federal taxes. Some of them pay zero federal taxes. We are proposing a tax on Wall Street speculation, which will make public colleges and universities tuition-free. We are proposing to lift the cap on taxable income in terms of Social Security, so people who are making over $250,000 a year will start paying the same percentage as people who are middle class. The result of that will be to extend and expand Social Security benefits for people who are in desperate need of an expansion of benefits. And we have proposed other ideas. Now, in terms of the individual tax rate, we are going to have information on that coming out very shortly. And this is what I can say. At a time of massive income and wealth inequality, where almost all of the new income and wealth is going to the top 1%, yes, a Sanders administration will demand that the wealthiest people in this country who are doing phenomenally well start paying their fair share of taxes. The exact details will be coming out fairly soon.
Can you let me know exactly how soon that might be? I ask only because, you know, New Hampshire, perhaps more so than the rest of the country, has less time to analyze any proposal that you would put forward.
That information will certainly be out before the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary.
Okay. Along the lines of the Wall Street speculation tax that you briefly mentioned, you're going to use at least part of that to pay for, you know, free college tuition at public colleges. You said that that would raise about $300 billion a year, but the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center estimates, of course, that that's about $51 billion a year. So a big difference between your number and theirs. How do you account for that difference?
That there are differences. We don't have it right now. It's a tough proposal to estimate. But what they are proposing, I believe, is much, much too low. The truth is nobody knows exactly, but there are people who have estimated that we could raise up to $300 billion. But even if we don't, the cost of my proposal in terms of making public colleges and universities tuition-free and the cost of my proposal to substantially lower interest rates on student debt, that will cost about $70 billion a year. And I'm confident that our proposal to impose a tax on Wall Street speculation will, in fact, pay for both of those provisions.
You're in support of a Medicare for All type healthcare system. How would you convince lawmakers in Washington to go along with a Medicare for All plan?
Well, I think it's a question of convincing the lawmakers in Washington to do what the American people want. The essential political problem we have right now is that as a result of a corrupt campaign finance system, where many members of the Congress are far more interested in pleasing their corporate donors or the billionaires who fund their campaigns rather than responding to the needs of the American people. What my job as president would be is to rally the American people, to raise the minimum wage to a living wage, to create millions of jobs rebuilding our infrastructure, pay equity for women workers, dealing with climate change, and, in fact, moving toward a Medicare for All single-payer program. The way you do that is when millions of people stand together and they say to Congress, you know what, Congress? Maybe you better start representing all of us rather than the billionaire class or your wealthy campaign contributors. When that happens, we can transform this country and have a government that represents all of us and not just a handful of very wealthy people.
Back in 2008, President Barack Obama rode into election with record turnout, lots of support. And he asked people to stay along with him. And it's a claim similar to the one that you're making now, asking people to start a political revolution. So how would you, as president, get people who were inspired to vote for you to keep working for you if you are elected?
Well, that's a great question. That is a great question. And the answer is that is exactly what has to be done. And I can't give you all the details about how we do it. But what you're seeing already, it's an imperative that it happen. Because at the end of the day, no president, not Bernie Sanders or anybody else, can accomplish what has to be done, rebuilding the disappearing middle class, dealing with income and wealth inequality, dealing with climate change, dealing with a corrupt campaign finance system. No president alone can take on Wall Street and corporate America and the big money interest. You need an aroused and organized public who are demanding that Congress listen to the needs of working families rather than billionaires. Now, how you do it, I mean, I can't outline the exact program to you, but clearly the president has the capabilities of bringing people together around an agenda that works for the middle class, and that's certainly what I would intend to do.
Just briefly on foreign policy, ISIS continues to be a threat. As president, what would be your first action against ISIS?
Well, my first action would be to make certain that the young men and women in the United States Armed Forces are not forced to engage in never-ending perpetual warfare in the Middle East. I voted against the war in Iraq. That was the right vote, and I think we have got to learn the lessons of that war. And that lesson is that we form a coalition in which the major powers of the world, the United States, UK, France, Germany, Russia, work together in support of Muslim boots on the ground, of Muslim troops who will win the fight, I believe, for the soul of Islam against the barbaric ISIS organization who have hijacked Islam. That is what people like King Abdullah of Jordan are talking about, and I support that. So my goal would be to put together a coalition of major powers supporting the Muslim countries in the region to take it to ISIS. And the good news is, as you know, in the last week or so, we have seen the Iraqi army, not historically a great fighting army, actually retake Ramadi, which is a step forward. ISIS has lost about 40% of the territory it once held in Iraq. So perhaps we're making some progress, but we've got to keep going forward to destroy ISIS.
Senator Bernie Sanders, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That's Senator Bernie Sanders, Democratic candidate for president and senator from Vermont.